Good morning, beloved children of God. I want to know, always want to know, before we commend ourselves to the Lord, who is in our midst? Who's a beloved child of God?
I am.
Okay, we're getting there. The response is, I am a beloved child of God. Praise God. As beloved children of God and beloved children of Mary, in the spirit of discernment, we must be able to surrender ourselves. We're going to talk a lot about this morning, but we do so in the example of our Mother Mary. Our mother is always teaching us as she taught Jesus. She wants us to be just like Jesus. And when I say, who wants to be like Jesus? We want to be like Jesus. And Mary shows us the way. She chose for us the true spirit of discernment, how she allows herself to be encapsulated by God. Outside, inside, everything about Mary tells us, let it be done to me according to your word. And that's the spirit in the heart of this morning. Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. And so in confidence we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I want to preface our morning by reminding you, I didn't ask for this. Right? This is that conversation, that topic, where people say, Father, you don't understand. Or people would say, Father, no, right? So this is the conversation that I always remind you, you asked for this, right? Because this is the conversation that we talk about and you all love to hate me. You will. I tell you, by the end of this morning, you will say, I never want to speak to him again. Watch. I'm warning you. I didn't ask for this. You all, especially our Ignatian groups, as you come into another incredible season of the spiritual exercises, as you bring that to a close and you're discerning, like, what's next, remember, you asked for this. This is that conversation that makes us go, ah, ooh, because of we're so attached to our own decisions. We're so attached to our own emotions. We're so attached to our own knowledge. We think we know better than anybody else what the right answer is. And not only that, but when it's wrong, we still want to convince everybody that it's right. And so in order to have true discernment, we have to detach ourselves. Before we even talk about how to discern, we have to encounter, why is it that we want to discern? What's the real reason I want to discern God's purpose and will in my life? Because sometimes we say we want to discern when we really want to negotiate. Already, I hate that father, right? Right? Because what we want to do is to ask God to discern our will in our lives. And that's the truth, that we have already made a decision. And we say, I want to discern God's will for me in my life. And I was like, no, you don't. What you want to do is manipulate God and ask God to cooperate with your decision that you have already made without his assistance. You have already. So part of discernment requires us being honest with ourselves, being true with ourselves. And even that is difficult. Why? Because you lie to yourselves every day. You tell yourselves how wonderful you are. Well, you are, but not always, right? And sometimes you even deflate yourselves, where you really are so hard on yourselves, and how easy it is for you to be hard on us. If you're not gentle with yourself, how easy it is for you to not be gentle with us. So part of discernment is to understand also, wait a minute. You know, there are times where I make myself, like my ego is so big that, well, this room can't even contain it. And that's true, that we inflate ourselves and we make ourselves bigger than life and truly bigger than God. But the same thing is true when we minimize our true potential. When we make ourselves so disgustingly insignificant, we belittle ourselves. Oh, I can't do that. Well, who sounds like that? Right? I'm not good at that. Well, who sounds like that? And so there are times where we diminish ourselves and we really wound and punish ourselves, and we make ourselves so incredibly undesirable to God. And again, so the self-esteem is so low that we feel like even God can't reach us there. And so true discernment requires us to really begin to be honest with ourselves. And we don't want to do that, because we don't want people to think that we're not the greatest thing since sliced bread, or wraps for that matter, right? Or we don't want people to think that we're better than we are. Scrupulosity, right? Scrupulosity is a terrible thing, because you make it still, scrupulosity is still pride, because you still make it about yourself. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm not holy enough. I've got to confess my sins every 5 minutes. I got to go to every mass. I got to pray the rosary all day. Do you see this? There's no relationship in this. It's all about you. It's still prideful. And so even that gets in the way of true discernment. So before we go to that, let us just stop for a moment and really just connect with the Lord, right? Where is the Lord moving you in your life? You know Him. You know what He feels like. He makes the hair on your hand stand up. He makes you cry uncontrollably. You know Him. And you know how He touches you, and He makes you feel beautiful. He makes you feel, yes, you feel like a big old sinner, but at the same time, you feel so loved. You know that feeling. And that's an honest feeling for us. We say, I don't know how God speaks to me. Is that really true? I don't want to call you a liar, but liar, right? Is that really true? That you don't know how God speaks to you. You know how He speaks to you. The problem is you don't like what He says, because again, you're too attached to the decision that you already made. I didn't make a decision. Yes, you did. You've already made the decision. And what you want God, and you want to be able to say is, well, this is God's will in my life, because I tortured Him and punished Him and put His hand behind His back, and I say, say it, you want my will better than your will. No, God's will is always the best thing for you, but you have to believe that. And if you don't believe that, then your discernment is just going to be that, you discerning your will and not God's will. So you know how God speaks to you. Remember, we are each individually created, still in the image and likeness of God, but God created you in a way that He can communicate with you and He can love you like no one else can. So only God knows how He created you to receive His love, and not only receive His love, but live it, experience it, enjoy it, that each of us are not the same, although we're part of the mystical body. Some of us are fingers, some of us are hands, some of us are eyes, some of us are ears. We all are needed. But God communicates Himself to you in a different way than He communicates to me. We hear that there's different gifts of the Spirit, but it's the same Spirit. And so I can't tell you how to do something. I can only share with you how God chooses to love us and communicate with us. And you and God have to determine what's the best way and the best mode for you to talk, to receive, to share. But it has to be done in honesty, and it has to be done with faith, to trust that God's desire for you is the best thing for you. And that right there in itself, you have to fight with that. You have to struggle with that. You have to really be able to say to yourself that what God wants for me is better than what I want for myself, right? Say it and be free. Say it and be free, because I'm telling you, you'll say, yeah, what God wants is better, but inside, you're saying something else. And you're saying, no, Father, I really want what God wants for me. Well, then why don't you do this? No. And I was like, are you hearing what you're saying? Because there's a duplicity to you. There's a division inside of you. And Jesus very clearly says, a house divided amongst itself can't stand. It won't stand. We heard Jude today, we have to be built up in faith, in trust, so that when we're discerning, true discernment, that whatever it is that God says for us, even if we don't understand it, even if He's leading us in a place that we don't want to go, it's the best thing for you. And you cannot discern until you grasp that reality and you mean it. To be able to say, Lord, I don't know where I'm going, but since You're leading me, it's the best place that I can go. It's the best place for me. That you can't discern until you're free. And you're not free to discern. So as we decide, Lord, we just finished an amazing year of the spiritual exercise of Ignatius in our different communities. We have our different communities. We have an Ignatian Adventure. We have the Long Retreat. We have Sacred Story. And now, praise God, we have the Nazareth-centered retreat as well. All very Ignatian for us in this community. And we have to be able to say, why is the Lord asking you to come and be part of these communities? What is it that the Lord is asking of you? Because there are two wills here, right? Actually, there's three. But we don't want to talk about the other one, because the other will just wants to destroy you. He wants to disturb you. He wants to just pull you away from your happiness. But then there's two other wills. There's your will that will get you lost every time. Every time you enter into self-reliance, you will take yourself into darkness. And you have to be able to say to yourself, you know what? If I'm the one driving you know, and steering this ark, right? Even though there's, you know, there's a flood, I'm going to hit a mountain, right? You're just, you don't know where you're going. And you don't even know how to get to where you don't know where you're going. It's pretty profound. But guess what? You're on your way. You're on your way. You're going. You have no idea where you're going. You don't even know how to get there, but God bless you. You're on your way. Told you guys are going to hate me by the end of this day. But to be able to acknowledge, Lord, I am not the way, I am not the truth, and I am not the life that you have designed and desire for me. I'm just not. That's why I love when they question John the Baptist. Remember, questioning is always questioning who you are. It's to make you confused, and it's to make you suffer and to pull you away from God. Questioning is always going to be someone trying to exert their authority over you and take from you your energy, your life, so that this person automatically now is feeling better about themselves and forgetting about their own woundedness. The Pharisees are doing that to Jesus. They're wounded. They're hurting. And they are lost. They are seriously in darkness. And they're trying to get themselves out by exerting energy over Jesus and questioning his identity so that it might tell them something about themselves. You see, I was right. I knew I was right. And how many times did Jesus prove them wrong? He proved them wrong time and time again, and yet they kept going in the wrong direction. Self-reliance, pride, I know a better way. And that's us. We do that all the time, but we have to be able to acknowledge that that's the truth. We are always going in the wrong direction, even when we think that we're coming towards God. Right? Jesus says they worship, but they doubt it. And we're the same way. We can think we're heading towards Jesus, but we doubt that we're heading the right way. But John the Baptist, when they were questioning him, "Are you the Messiah? The chosen one," he says, "I am not." Beautiful. I am not. I'm not even worthy to untie his straps of his sandals. I am not. He knows who he is. He knows, and he doesn't have to defend himself. He doesn't have to fight with them, although he did call them a brood of vipers and everything, right? He was like, "You brood of vipers." I was like, "Whoa." But he knew who he was. And he continued to say, "I must decrease. You must increase in me." Meaning, I must become less. Little, lowest, not low self-esteem, that's humility. So that I continue to do God's will. At one point, John the Baptist, right, when Jesus is coming to him, he's like, "Uh-oh." God said, "I will know who he is. I know who that is." And as he's coming to him, in a moment, John the Baptist wants to allow his will to be done. And he says to Jesus, "How can this be? Absolutely. I need to be baptized by you." Right? And what Jesus says, it's amazing. He says, yeah, well, yeah, absolutely, right? He didn't say, you sinner, you're right. What he said is, let it be. Let it be. Haven't we heard that before? Let it be. Let it be done to me according to your word. We hear Our Lady's words on Jesus' lips. Let it be. For the sake of righteousness, let's just do this. Right? Always, always allowing himself to be surrendered to the Father's will. Not my will, Lord, thy will be done. And so true discernment, we have to look at Our Lady's example again. To be able to say, Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. Let it be done to me. Can we honestly say that? Not with our lips, but with our whole lives. Because if we're truly going to discern God's will, then we have to submit to it. As we heard, we have to pray with the Holy Spirit. And if we look at Joseph, Joseph too wanted to do his will in accordance. What he wanted to do was good in accordance to the law. He was a God-fearing man. He was law-abiding. And he says, you know what? I'm just going to divorce Mary quietly. I'll just do it quietly so that no one tries to fulfill the obligation of the law, which means she would be stoned. She would be stoned. And so his will is kicking in, but he's doing it in accordance with the law. And then we hear the angel says to him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary into your home, your wife into your home, into your life. Don't be afraid to do God's will. This is God's will. And we hear how Joseph submits to it. What he wanted to do was good. What God wants to do is better. And so for us, they give us the example of true, true discernment. And the question for us today is, do you really want to discern God's will for you in your life? It will help you in all the decisions that you make, whether financially, whether they have to deal with family, whether they have to deal with relationships, whether they have to do with ministry, whether they have to do with the forms of devotion and the prayers that you take on. Everything, every moment, every conversation, every situation, you can discern God's will for you. In that moment, and you could surrender to it, and you will remain happy and free. Let's talk a little bit about, again, before we get into certain rules, let us just look at our salvation history once again to see how people discern God's will. I think of Joseph. I think of his father, Jacob, Israel. I think of how his father loved him. And he loved him so much. And so he wants to send Joseph to be with his brothers. But his brothers have already decided that they hate him. They have already discerned on their own that they hate him. This is their younger brother. And they hate him. They have already decided that. There's no discernment in that. They hate him. And they're trying to find ways of getting him out of the family, away from their father. Jealousy, envy, greed. Okay? We cannot make decisions based upon those things. We just can't. And at times we do. We decide things, even on guilt and shame and a sense of obligation. We cannot make decisions based upon those things. And we do. And you will not be free to discern with those. So we hear that the father sends Joseph to his brothers, and the brothers see him, and immediately they decide what they're going to do. No discernment. It's a reaction. They're reacting to his presence. Let's just get rid of him immediately. And so even their actions, there's no discernment in it. It's all one reaction of another. They decide what they're going to do. And ultimately, we know what they do. They intend on killing him, and eventually they sell him to slavery. And it gets worse. Now that they've done something wrong, they continue to decide how they're going to clean up their mess. And what they do is wound the father. They wound him. Right? Terribly, terribly, they wound him. Right? They tell the father that their son was eaten by a beast, which is a lie. And the father has to live with this wound forever because of their decision. And rather than telling him the truth and setting him free, they remained imprisoned with their decision, and they continue to make terrible decisions the rest of their lives. Just one bad decision after another. Ultimately, we know the story that the Lord finally sends help. God goes to help them. He goes into Egypt because God wants to be with them. They cry out, and the Lord discerns himself. It's time. I'm going to go save my children. But even after they're leaving, right, Moses and God are discerning. How are we going to do this, Moses? Right? And God is revealing himself to Moses. And Moses is trying to find every excuse not to do God's will. Right? Oh, I don't know how to talk. Right? I'm nothing. They'll never listen to me. And he's going on and on and on and on. Not even telling God, oh, by the way, I killed somebody. It's one excuse after another. And God remains in the conversation with Moses, helping Moses to discern God's will. I'm going to be with you. Don't worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to give you the words. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Just trust me. And ultimately, that's what Moses do. But Moses has to continually surrender himself to God's will. It's just not a moment. We say, oh, I got up this morning, I said, Lord, not my will, your will, I surrender it to you. And within 5 minutes, you've taken control and you're taking care of everything. No, Moses showed us that in order to discern God's purpose, God's meaning, and God's will for us, it needs to be an active surrender. A constant surrender, and always surrendering to God's will. And we see Moses struggle with that, but he does. He just ultimately is surrendering himself every step of the way. Why? Because his own people keep questioning his identity. Who are you? Right? His own people, who are you? You know, the Pharaoh, who do you think you are? His own brother and sister, who do you think you are? Always questioning his identity. And it caused him a couple of times to stumble, but he came back into it. And he did God's will. The people Israel, how many times did God say, oh, good gracious, let me destroy them, God said to Moses. Let me just, and Moses has a decision to make, and he discerns beautiful. But wait a minute, Lord. If you destroy them, what is Pharaoh going to think? What is the world going to think that you couldn't even do what you said you were going to do with this people? You see how Moses now knows how to discern God's will and go right back to God. Yeah, no, I'm not going to say yes until you and I discern this, talk about this. And ultimately, he did God's will. But the people wanted to go back to slavery. Oh, beloved children of God, how you love slavery. You all love going back to Egypt. You live in Egypt. Egypt is a place of slavery. And how many times did they say, what are we doing out here? We have no food, we have no water. Oh, Egypt, the leeks, the melon, our flesh pots. You see how they begin to convince themselves that slavery is better than freedom with God. Slavery all of a sudden looks better than freedom with God. Whose will, again, are we doing? Their will was to go back to slavery. God's will was to give them a promised land flowing with milk and honey, freedom from all their foes and free from all slavery, and God would be their sole provider. And yet they chose slavery, their will. So let's talk about freedom. Freedom. Are you truly free to discern God's will, his purpose, and his meaning in your own life? Are you free, truly, truly free from your own will, your own decisions, your own self-reliance, your own selfishness, your self-absorption, all that? Are you really, truly free from yourself? Benedict XVI says this so elegantly. He says that we should all pray for the grace to be freed from the slavery of self-reliance and our own will. Will you pray for the grace to be freed from self-reliance and from your own will? That's when we could truly enter into the heart of discernment. Two words are important for us in freedom. One is resistance, and the other one is assistance. Resistance and assistance. Let's talk about resistance. Resistance is what some of you are doing right now. So when you hear to pray for the grace to be freed from self-reliance and our own will, some of you said, I'm not praying that. You're honest. Well, God bless you. You're honest. But that's resistance. There's something inside of you that says, that's not good for me. That's not good for me. Resistance at times can be mistrust. We just don't trust God. Or we say we trust him, but we don't trust him enough. That's resistance. Resistance is when somebody tells you, you know, when you pray the Our Father every day, you're telling the Father not to forgive you because you don't forgive others. Resistance would say, well, maybe I need to skip over that part then in the Our Father. Or better yet, I'm not going to say it. Or when I get to that part, I just, I'm not ready for that. Resistance is all the times that you say, I won't forgive a person. That's what resistance looks like. God has already told you, you must forgive. And you must forgive from the heart in order to be forgiven. And not doing that is resistance. That's resistance, the heart of resistance. We spoke about scrupulosity, that's resistance. You just cannot allow the Lord to tell you that he loves you, and that's it. But scrupulosity says, oh, I'm unworthy of that love. I need to do more. I need to do so much more in order for God to love me. I need to do so much more in order for me to enter into the kingdom of God. But when I look at other people, I begin to talk about them because they're not doing enough. That's resistance, right? Ultimately, it's just a big old excuse not to surrender to God's will. So we have to be careful with scrupulosity because we think it's good and it's bad. It's just terrible because God is never going to be enough for you. You're always trying to do everything on your own. You have determined what you need to do to become holy and to enter into the kingdom of God. And so it becomes all about you. Resistance all the way down. Resistance also comes in the form of excuses. We excuse ourselves in and out of a relationship with God. I can't go mass today because, well, I'm going here and I'm doing that. And I hear that all the time, right? I can't do this because I'm going to do that. Again, the I'm going to do that is my own desire. That's my own will. And so we have to be careful with that we excuse ourselves in and out of a relationship with God in order to discern God's will for us. I know God wants me to do this, or God wants me to take on that assignment. He wants me to do this job. He wants me to go there. He wants me to forgive that person. But I don't think I can do that. Yes, you can. You just don't want to. That's the difference. So we have to be careful with excuses because those are a major form of resistance. Anything that gets in the way of you truly discerning God's purpose and will for you is going to be a form of resistance for you. And it's going to be difficult for you to do God's will and to discern God's will because the resistance is part of you already making a choice, a decision. Assistance is just allowing the good spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide you. That is allowing to know what God is deciding for you or has decided or determined for you that would be the best thing for you or to get you out of the pit that you put yourself in or the bad situation, that we need to allow the good spirit to lead us. Remember, Jesus says, I'm going to send you an advocate, meaning one that's advocating for us. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he won't speak on his own. He's going to teach you everything that I say. And by the way, everything that I say is what the Father says. Because when you see me, you see the Father. And when you hear me, you hear the Father. So ultimately, the Spirit is telling us through Jesus what the Father wills for us, what the Father wants for us. So the Spirit is guiding us. And remember, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, please deliver us from ourselves. Save us from ourselves. We're so destructive. Save me from my own self-destruction. And so we have to be able to cooperate with the good spirit, but we have to know which spirit is communicating to us in our discernment. Remember, the bad spirit is always causing us to go in the opposite direction of God. The Holy Spirit is always going to draw us closer and closer and closer to God. So for us, we have to understand, if we're going to truly discern God's purpose in our life, then I have to assist the Holy Spirit, who's leading me to that land flowing with milk and honey. I have to follow the good Spirit. And how Jesus says, that Spirit moans and groans inside of you. Can you imagine? Scripture says, because we don't know how to pray as we ought, that the Spirit groans inside of you. You say, oh, that's my stomach growling. I was like, that's the Spirit. he's groaning inside of you. No, Father, I'm just hungry. I was like, no, that's the Spirit. He's like, rawr, right? He's like groaning. He's like, we're going in the wrong direction again. But assistance. Can we allow God to assist us? Because the people Israel just did not do that. They complained about God and made excuses time and time and time again. Oh, but the patience of God is amazing. We need assistance. What do we need assistance with? Patience. We are so impatient. We have become such an instant society. Instant gratification, instant response. Before we even hit the button, our answer is already there. God doesn't operate that way. In the sense, he does, but we have to hear what his response is. But we're too busy hearing ourselves. And so we have to be patient with ourselves, as we hear in the beautiful letter of Jude, you know, to be built up in faith, to pray in the Holy Spirit, to have love of God, and to be patient with God's mercy. That God knows what's best for you. Again, we have to go back to that. We have to continue to remind ourselves, Lord, you want what's best for me. And your way is better than my way. As a matter of fact, your way is the best way. We have to continually say that in discernment so that we don't allow resistance to kick in and we don't start forming excuses for ourselves. Well, God hadn't answered me yet, right? Or God is not listening to me. God doesn't love me. That's all resistance. That's all excuses. And none of that is true. That if you're going to discern, you have to tell yourself the truth. You know what? God loves me. God heard me. God knows what I need, and God is going to provide exactly what I need. That's the truth. But how many times in discernment we convince ourselves otherwise? And we start to resist the assistance of the Holy Spirit. We become so impatient that we don't know how to wait for God's grace. It's going to save the day. Scripture says grace never disappoints. But yet, we don't wait for it. And we take the steering wheel and we begin to become self-reliant. And we allow our will to try to save the day. Trying to resolve our own issues, trying to depend on our own knowledge, to resolve it on our own, that's not discernment. Right? That's negotiation again. How many times do we say, you know what? I'm just going to offer it up. I'm going to offer it up. I'm going to put it on the altar. And then by the end of Mass, somehow it's back in your pocket. right? Or when somebody says, here, Lord, take it. Take it, you know, take it. Well, let it go. I did let it go. Take it, take it. God is not, no. God says, no. Give me permission. Share it with me. You give it to me. It'll make you free. It'll make you free. I tell the story about, I'm a little ashamed of this, but back in the day before discernment, I might have had a really nice sports car. It might have been a nice little drop-top Mercedes with a hard go. And people convinced me that this would make me happy. Look how this. That this was going to make me happy. It made me unhappy, but I did like driving it, right? And ultimately, they kept telling me when I became a seminarian that I had to give the car up. You got to give that car up. You can't have that car. And my excuse, the resistance, here's the resistance. It was 13 years old, and it's paid for. It's the cheapest thing that I could afford. Resistance, right? And I was like, I kept going. Well, ultimately, unfortunately, I had somebody back into the car while we were on a summer assignment. I was with another seminarian who's a priest now. And the car was totaled. And thank God that it was a Mercedes. It didn't even move, didn't even budge, right? And it was, we were safe. And I said, there you go. God's will be done, right? Because I said, well, if God wants it, let him take the car. I'm ashamed of it, but I'm being honest, right? The resistance, if that's what God wants, let him take the car. Oh my. But here's the sadness. I go into the 30-day Ignatian retreat, and the scene comes back up. And I was like, but Lord, I don't have that car now. You took that car. He said, yes. But why didn't you give it to me? That God's will was that I would give that car to him and be freed from it so that I can continue to rely on being detached from the things of this world and being solely attached to him. My will was, well, yeah, you're right, I should give it up. But if God wants it, let him take it. And we discern that way. We that's the discernment that we have. Well, if God wants this, let him do it. And then I know it's his will. It doesn't work like that. God destroyed me that day. I was wrecked. More than that car could have been wrecked. When I realized what I did. But thank God he loves me so much. At the same time that I was being wounded, I was also being healed because I was able to acknowledge, yes, Lord, I was too attached to that car and I should have given that to you. There's nothing wrong for you who have any car like that in here. There's nothing wrong with having that car. That's not what the point of that. The point is, for me, God had desired something different for me. Right? Perhaps a little black Kia, right? So the point is for that we at times in our discernment say to God, if God wants this, then he'll take it. This is what it sounds like. If you are the Son of Man, come down from that cross. That if God wants us to know that you're the Son of Man, then he needs to do what we want to do. And you come down from that cross. Otherwise, I won't believe in you. That's our will. But what Jesus shows us is total reliance on the Father. Total trust. Into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. Total trust in God's will. And God raises him up, exalts his name above any other name, seated at the right hand of the Father, given the kingdom of God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That the people were saying, you know, if God wants it, take it. Rather than to give up their own self-reliance and to trust, this man is innocent. He's doing this for you. He says, Father, not my will, thy will be done. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Always discerning God's purpose for you and me in his life. Jesus always lives in the Father's will. We're just going to take a pause there to see if there's any questions before we'll take a little break here to see if there's any questions here, and then we'll just say a little prayer, take a little break, and then keep going. How many of you still love Father Ivan? I didn't see all those hands go up. I told you, there was a hand up here. I saw a hand. Oh, was there a question? Yeah.
Yes. Is it fair to say that it all depends where I am in my relationship with God as to how I respond?
Beautiful. So is it fair to say that it's based upon my relationship with God, how I respond? And so that's yes. So the answer to that is fair to say that, but the question is, in our response, how much of us is in there? How much of us is in that response? Because yes, it is based upon our relationship with God, but once again, we have determined where we are in that relationship, right? For us, sometimes this is the way it was presented to us in the School of Spiritual Direction, that sometimes we act like we're dating God. And so since I'm dating God, I want to keep all my options open, right? So this is just a date. I'm not committed to you. I'm just dating you. And so that means I could date other people as well. When we don't realize we're not dating God, we're married to him. We're in a covenant with God. We're in a holy matrimony from the day of our baptism. We said, I do. I do believe and I will renounce. And so the relationship can't be where we establish it. The relationship has been made from all creation. And so what's proper to respond is the way we've been asked to do, which is simply say, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. It's what the Our Father says. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's the proper response to the relationship. But God is ever so patient with us, as he was with Israel. He told Israel, I am your God. You are my people. But they were dating God. They had still other gods in their midst. They believed other things, including themselves. So yes, our response is based upon where we are, but we can't allow that to be an excuse to totally submit and surrender to the Lord. The proper response to God is how we said, yes, I do to him. That's the only response. So let's talk about the real true power that you all have, right? Because I know you all really believe that you're in control, right? I know you all really believe that. And well, here's the secret. None of us are in control. But the one thing that we can control is our response. But it's either yes or it's no. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is from the enemy. So our baptismal promise, that's why in holy matrimony, you promise to love and honor each other for as long as you shall live. I do is the proper response. There's no other response. It's not, I think so, maybe, just in case. It really is. There's no prenuptial agreement there. There's only one response, I do. Do you promise to be there in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health? Only one response, I do. In our baptismals, do you promise to believe? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting? Only one response, I do. That's yes. Do you renounce sin and Satan and all his empty works, his empty shows, his empty promises? Only one response. I do. Yes. Everything else in our life says I don't. And so the one thing that we can control is our response. But yes, it's based upon where we are in our relationship, but that's where we choose to be because we haven't fully stopped resisting resistance to God. We haven't allowed God to assist us to be where we're supposed to be, which is in heaven, in that beautiful, in his image, in his glory. That's I do. And so true discernment is to be able to get there. But God is not keeping you from that. You are. That's your resistance. That between being a saint and your relationship where you are, all that in the middle, that's you. That's your resistance. And it could end like that. And people say, how, Father? How is it going to end? You just have to prostrate yourself and give yourself entirely to who you are. You're created in the image and likeness of God. Jesus shows you this is how you should be. This is right relationship with God. This is the proper response to everything. And you will be free. People could say, that man, he's in prison. No, that man is free. He is more human than any of us. Not because he's divine, but because he's surrendered. Jesus, this is his humanity that's on the cross. He surrendered in his humanity. It's his humanity that has saved us. So yes, our relationship is not where it should be. Beautiful question. And our responses are going to be based upon where we are, but not where we should be. And not to respond how we should respond as beloved children. St. Paul speaks of the glorious freedom of the children of God. Oh, I love that. I love that. I want to be free. Free me from the slavery of my self-reliance and my own will so I can enjoy the glorious freedom of the children of God. True discernment has to be done in true freedom. You have to be free to discern God's purpose and God's will for you. Like all of you have, you know, some of you, most of you have completed another year of the spiritual exercises. And how much freer are you now than you were from when you started? right? Because that relationship should have drawn you closer, more closer, and you should be more free. And if you're not, you're getting in the way. That's your resistance. You're resisting the change in your life. You can't change God. He's unchangeable. He's never going to change. You can't change his mind. He can relent from punishing you. He's not going to change his mind. We're the ones that have to change our hearts and change our mind this time, not him. And so, yeah, I love that, that our response, what a beautiful reality. Our response is, it is fair to say that our response is going to be based upon where we are in our relationship with God. But who has determined that relationship, right? It's like we're dating. No, when God says no, you know, the proper response to me is always going to be, I do. Not my will, thy will be done. It's a beautiful place to be. Let us just leave it. Thank you for that amazing question. And I remember you all love me. And I love you. And let me remind you, this was not me. You said, Father, teach us about the sermon. We want to talk about the sermon, right? I just want to remind you so that we don't enter into like a scene in Eden and paradise, right? Where Adam said, Father, please give me a suitable partner. Give me a suitable partner. Puts him in the deep sleep. We hear that he pulls out a rib from his side and he creates woman, Eve. And he says, wow, Lord, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Yes, that's a suitable partner until she committed that sin and made me eat that, you know, that fruit. And all of a sudden, what happened? Right? He asked for her, right? And then all of a sudden he said, that woman that you put here, right? That all of a sudden that's what he was saying. And so I just want to remind you that this was, you wanted this. And I was so happy to give it to you. Why? Because we want you to be free. Talk about joy. The freedom of being free. The joy of not being able to make any decisions in your life. Allowing God to make all the decisions for you. That's freedom. That's true freedom. And that's the gift of discernment. That we don't have to be able to even discern, because all we have to at that moment is really discern, Lord, what is your answer? And let me enter into it with freedom, with freedom. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, yourself, and your Holy Spirit, and the image of our Mother Mary and Father Joseph and all the angels and saints, how wonderfully they submit to your will and how happy and joyful they are. As we continue, dear Lord, in these spiritual exercises to determine and discern your will in our life, help us with that grace, dear Lord, through the intercession of our Mother Mary and Father Joseph, to truly be free from self-reliance, to be free from any resistance, to simply allow your will to be done in us. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.